Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all those who are here with us as we celebrate the fourth Sunday of Lent. Welcome also to all those who are watching and listening from your home. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We are glad you are here. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Mike, assisted by Deacon Jim. This Mass is being offered for Marilyn Maloney.
Again we keep this solemn fast, a gift of faith from ages past, this Lent which binds us lovingly to faith and hope and charity. The law and prophets from of old in figured ways this Lent foretold, which Christ all ages Lord and guide in these last days has sanctified. More sparing therefore let us make the words we speak, the food we take, our sleep, our laughter, every sense, learn peace through holy penitence.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess. Mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. O God, who through your word reconciled the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented 7 sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest, who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord.
Beside restful waters he leads me, he refreshes my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil. For you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord.
Follows me will have the light of life.
Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes open?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know."
they brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "That is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he's from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I might believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see.' So your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. This long gospel is packed with a lot of food for teaching, but I want to focus on the second reading and on the gospel, and I want to suggest there are two thoughts to remember and for you to take away from this homily. The first thought is light and darkness. Remember those words, light and darkness. And the second is good dog and bad dog. Remember that. There really are connections between these thoughts. And understanding these connections can be a life-changing experience for every person, especially since we are at the midpoint in this time of Lent, leading up to Holy Week and Easter. In the second reading today, St. Paul is writing to the Christian community at Ephesus. When St. Paul repeats the word light 6 times just in these few verses in this reading, this is important, and we ought to listen up. Paul writes, "You were once darkness, but now you are light
in the Lord. At the time that St. Paul preached the gospel in Ephesus and was forming the early Christian community there, it was a major commercial trading center, the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire. Ephesus had a very pagan Gentile culture with many temples to the Roman gods, gods with a small g, who the Romans worshipped. The members of the Christian community that Paul was forming, they were not a large group. They were a distinct minority. They met mostly in house churches. And they were the ones who were primarily Gentile pagan converts. The darkness that Paul refers to is the misery of living in sin. If you look up the Greek word that he was using, that's what he's referring to, the misery of living in sin. The Greek word for light that Paul uses six times in these verses means light that is never kindled and never put out, a pretty unique Greek word for light. And only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could be the source of this light. St. Paul encourages this Christian community to live as children of the light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. When we live in the light of Christ, we reflect the goodness, righteousness, and truth of Jesus who lives in us. These are examples of virtues. When we live virtuous lives, we become a witness to others. We become what could be called a white martyr, not shedding our blood, but nonetheless being a martyr, a witness for Jesus Christ to those around us. The fruitless works of darkness that Paul mentions are sins and vices that separate us from God and from others. Sins and vices could be addictions, alcohol, drugs, pornography, gambling. Could be lying, stealing, or embezzling money or property, sex outside of marriage, abuse of a spouse or children, and on and on and on. When we expose sin and vice to the light of Christ, they become visible to us. And we're then able to name them, to claim them, and to tame them. In the gospel today, Jesus and his disciples come upon the man born blind. The disciples ask him, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, there was an understanding among the people of Israel that God blesses people who live by the covenant with God, which God had given, especially to Moses, to observe the law and the commandments, and that God punishes people who do not observe the covenant and the commandments. Among the horrible punishments cited is blindness. Jesus really brings a correction to this understanding as he is fulfilling the law and the prophets in his life and ministry. And he says that neither the blind man nor his parents had sinned, neither one of them. Rather, the man's blindness serves a greater purpose in God's plan for redeeming the world. And Jesus said it is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. Jesus then says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Here's that word light again. Jesus then proceeds to do a work of God, something that only God could do. Jesus makes clay with dirt on the ground in his own saliva. You see the symbolism from Genesis, and when we read, God formed man out of the clay of the ground. Jesus rubs the clay on the blind man's eyes, directing him to wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. The blind man followed Jesus' directions, and he could see. Jesus, the light of the world, physically healed the man born blind, giving him sight that he never had before. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He then has conversations with the man born blind, his parents, and the Pharisees. The man born blind said, the man called Jesus gave him sight. When the Pharisees asked him about Jesus who healed him, he replied, he is a prophet. And Jesus then asked the man who was formerly blind, do you believe in the Son of Man? Referring to himself, of course.
The man born blind responds, "I do believe, Lord." Look at the progression in the man, in the understanding of the man who was once blind, of Jesus who gave him sight. He calls Jesus first a man. Then he calls him a prophet. And finally, he calls him Lord. Jesus has led this man on a path of understanding and giving him, working in him a spiritual healing in which his eyes, his heart, and his mind are open to the truth of who Jesus is. And from that point on, this man began living in the light of Christ. We don't know the rest of the story about him, but Jesus healed him physically and in a spiritual way as well, opening his eyes to the truth. Each of us has a lifetime journey in the Christian life, striving to grow in living holy lives. St. Paul encouraged the Christian community at Ephesus, try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. This is how we live our lives in the light rather than in the darkness around us, especially in today's culture and society. This is how striving to learn and to live virtue and to avoid vice helps us to live holy lives, grow closer to Jesus, who we want to call the Lord of our lives. Among the Native American people, there's a traditional type of a proverb that may help our understanding of living in the light rather than in darkness. And here it goes. A tribal elder is teaching his grandson about life. And he says, "There's a fight going on in me." This is the tribal elder saying, "This fight is going on in me between two dogs. One dog is bad or evil. This dog is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, pride, superiority, and ego. The other dog is good. This dog is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." This same fight between the bad dog and the good dog is going on inside of you, he's saying to his grandson, and every other person. The grandson thought for a moment and asked his grandfather, "Which dog will win this fight?" His grandfather replied, "The one you feed. The one you feed." Each of us can reflect on this good dog and bad dog proverb. Which dog am I feeding? What's the impact of my choices and decisions on which dog I'm feeding? Not just for me, but for the people around me. The characteristics of the good dog are nearly identical to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. These characteristics that we know in a person's life are evidence that this individual is striving to live and might make choices that are pleasing to the Lord. It's evidence of the life of the Holy Spirit in us that we receive in our baptism and confirmation. We are at the halfway point in our journey of growing closer to Jesus as we approach the celebration of his passion, death, and resurrection at Easter. I encourage each of us, and I'm doing this too, to reflect on, am I living in the light of Christ, or am I weighed down by darkness, darkness of vice and sin? By my choices, am I feeding the good dog, or am I feeding the bad dog? If you haven't been to confession and received the sacrament of reconciliation recently, there's about 2.5 weeks left at most parishes when we can go to confession before Easter. The power and the beauty of the sacrament of confession is that in confessing our sins and vices, they come into the light of Christ. And it's Jesus himself who forgives us of our sins and vices through the absolution words of the priest acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, in this beautiful sacrament. There's a regional reconciliation service at 2 p.m. this Sunday afternoon, March 19th, at our St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in East Lansing, and also at St. Gerard Parish on the west side of Lansing. There will be several priests hearing confessions at both parish sites. You can go to confession to a priest you know or to one you don't know. Take advantage of this opportunity to receive the forgiveness and the spiritual healing of Jesus in the sacrament of reconciliation. Speaking for myself as a cradle Catholic, I'm still on this journey to growing in holiness. I am a sinner. I need to receive God's mercy in my life. I know that. When I receive the sacrament of reconciliation, no matter what sins I confess, I come away knowing that God has forgiven me and that a burden has been lifted from my life. I'm continuing my own journey with the goal being living eternal life in heaven, the Blessed Trinity, the Blessed Mother, and all the saints. And I encourage each person to seek and receive God's mercy often. God always, always is merciful to every person who seeks and asks for his mercy.
I believe in one God. With faithful hearts, let us offer to the Lord our needs and petitions.
Four church leaders, may the Holy Spirit bless them as they guide their flocks. We pray to the Lord. For lawmakers, may the God of justice guide them with wisdom and a sense of service to all. We pray to the Lord. For those who are absent from the life of the church, may the Lord encourage them in their faith and deliver them from doubt. We pray to the Lord. For those who are entering the church this Easter, as well as those to be confirmed this week, we pray to the Lord. For this community of worship, may the Spirit of the Lord grant us the strength and courage to live out our faith each day. We pray to the Lord. For the sick, and especially for those in our television and radio and online community, and those listed in our book of prayer, we pray to the Lord. For our beloved dead, especially Dr. Raffaello Adiego, Larry Martin, and all the holy souls in purgatory, may they live in the house of the Lord forever. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, Eternal Father, all goodness comes from you. Look with kindness upon the prayers brought before you, which we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. We place before you with joy these offerings, which bring eternal remedy, O Lord, praying that we may both faithfully revere them and present them to you as fitting for the salvation of the world. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. Lift up your hearts.
Give them unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. By the mystery of the Incarnation, he has led the human race that walked in darkness to the radiance of the faith. and has brought those born in slavery to ancient sin through the waters of regeneration to make them your adopted children. Therefore, all creatures of heaven and earth sing a new song in adoration, and we, with all the host of angels, cry out without end, acclaim.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration. They may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we, who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, with all the saints in his constant intercession in your presence, we rely for unfailing help. May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, their servant Francis, our Pope and Earl, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
him and with him and in him. O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will. Live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Please join us in singing our first communion song, number 918, In the Breaking of the Bread. Again, that's 918. We'll be doing all four available verses.
Let us pray. O God, who enlighten everyone who comes into this world, illuminate our hearts, we pray, with the splendor of your grace, that we may always ponder what is worthy and pleasing to your majesty, and love you in all sincerity. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bow down for the blessing.
Look upon those who call to you, O Lord, and sustain the weak. Give life by your unfailing light to those who walk in the shadow of death, and bring those rescued by your mercy from every evil to reach the highest good. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.
Please join us in sending forth with number 645, Amazing Grace. Again, that's 645.
Thank you. Friends, I'm standing here in front of a statue of St. Joseph. We celebrate St. Joseph in the middle of March. St. Joseph is the universal protector of the church. He is invoked under many patronages, but anytime somebody needs support or provision, whether families or loved ones are moving, whether somebody needs employment, we invoke St. Joseph. And so we're grateful for his patronage here. And we're grateful to our entire Outreach Mass community, for those who contribute, for those who pray for us. Thank you for your support. If you're able to contribute to keeping us on the air, you may send contributions to 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. Gifts small and large keep us healthy as a ministry, keeping us on the air. And thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your donations. Thank you for your support. May God bless and keep you.
Welcome to another Faith That Works. I'm Father Matthew from here in the parishes in East Lansing. This part of the Mass that we're going to talk about is very important, though often overlooked, and that is the offertory. Now, you might think that I'm talking just about the collection, and certainly we believe that whatever church you attend, wherever it is that you're receiving the Word of God and the sacraments, you should certainly be supporting that particular church. Do be a part of their support and their ministry. Volunteer, certainly those things are important. But the offertory is really about us bringing our gifts, particularly the bread and the wine, bringing it to the altar so that it might be offered to the Lord, it might be transformed. We are bringing, of course, our gifts of our tithes and our offerings. But also, one of the most important things that happened during the Mass is during the offertory, we're supposed to be bringing ourselves. We're supposed to be putting ourselves on the altar. We are supposed to be transformed. We are supposed to be our gift to God. And throughout the week, maybe I made some bad decisions. Maybe I didn't pray as I ought to pray. And so whatever it is that has taken me off of the altar and taken my life back from God, when we come to Mass, this is our chance to renew that commitment. And so during the offertory, we are supposed to be the primary offering. The Lord Jesus is offered in the Holy Mass in his body and blood, and we are also to offer ourselves. And so the offertory is about more than just bringing the gifts, bringing the offerings, and having the gifts be transformed, which is central to the Mass, but ultimately, it's also about us, that we might be placed on the altar, that we are transformed into his body, the church, so that we might be completely giving of ourselves to the Lord, to his church, and to those that he's given us to love. And so the offertory is a time, whether you're here in the church or even if you're watching at home, this is your time to make that sacrifice. Lord, accept me with the gifts of bread and wine. Accept me with the gifts and offerings of the people. Lord, accept me so that like the bread and wine, I might be transformed into something new, into something better. So the offertory is a very important part of the Mass because it's our opportunity to place ourselves with the gifts so that we might be an offering to God that is pleasing and acceptable to him. This holy sacrifice that we offer of the Lord Jesus and of ourselves is yet another opportunity to demonstrate how our faith is a faith that works.